Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast, pre-season edition. I'm one of your hosts, Dano, and we still have no fucking Paddo. So in his place, we have none other than the MVP of pre-season, Peter from Nerds for Life Supercoach. Welcome, Pete.
Hello, thanks for having me again. I'm pumped to talk all defenders today. We actually started already discussing defenders before we started the chat. And like, I thought, wait, hang on, we better put this in the podcast because otherwise we're just going to be repeating ourselves.
we already went 4 minute discussion. We're like, shit, we should actually be discussing this while it's recording. Anyway, we'll get straight into it because we've had a lot of carnage recently with God knows who, like Callum Mills and whatnot. So it's really fucked with people's teams. So I know that there's going to be a fair few listening in on this. So, and we've even got a player that I was borderline not going to put on the run sheet, but after his efforts today, we're putting him on the run sheet. So we'll start off with the most must-have defender, Pete, and that's Sheezel. He's 600. Oh my God, my glasses. 637K. Do we really need to talk about Sheez Nuts?
He has not left my team since Tim Picker arrived. He was the first defender I selected, and I've never even considered not putting him in the team. So, no, we can just leave it at that. Just pick. Nah.
Let's go to the other primo. So, we're going to start off with Sam Flanders at 642K. Now, he's a fucking machine, but his main problem is he's severely interrupted preseason so far. So, but we might actually be able to get a glimpse of him beforehand if he gets up for opening round, which apparently he might be, and he's on track. So, and the other side of Sam Flanders, which we all know is the shitty round two bye, but if you can, if you can get that cover and whatnot, honestly, if he's up and about, fuck, man, he was unreal last year. He's currently in 16% of teams, and he only dropped two times in 22 games below 100, and they were of scores of 91 and 93. Now, I actually had him locked in until I found out about his preseason injuries. Him and Sheezel were my first two picked, and then I withdrew Flanders. But part of me's like, you know what? Fuck it. Why don't I just bring him back in if he plays good in opening rounds? What are your thoughts?
I mean, he's not on my side right now, and that is purely because, I mean, look, he's had a back problem, and those are the sort of injuries that flare up randomly. We've seen other players have that kind of issue before. And then you've got that shitty round two bye, so you get his round zero score, which could be great. I mean, you don't even get it because it's round zero, sorry. And correct, then you get his round one score, awesome. And then he has a bye immediately. I guess it depends. Like, if you don't have any other Gold Coast or GWS players who have that round two bye, and he's the only one missing in round two for you, and then he kind of covers you for the other byes, I'm okay with picking it. But he's got to go absolutely nuts in round zero for you to even consider it because he's the second most expensive defender. And do you really want to, like, I don't know, he's got a break even of 119. So he's got to hit that. And it's against West Coast. So you think he would, right? You think he would hit that. I don't know. I just want to
correct you there.
It's not West Coast,
He's not the second most expensive defender. He is the most expensive defender.
He's more expensive than shit. Oh my God. He's
5K more expensive. Yep.
I take it back. Just put shit on.
Yep. Ah, there we go. I just thought I'd correct you there.
No, you're right. I take it back. Pick Sheezel. It's better. It's easier. And then you know what you can do? Because he's got the round two bye, and I'm going to be honest, probably the first primo that I bring in is most likely going to be a Gold Coast player because you could have a correction trade because there's a lot of people that are going these mid prices. There are so many mid prices running around at the moment that people are considering. I guarantee you all of them are not going to be good. So we could be making some correction trades just before round three when Sam Flanders is about to play his third game, and that's fine. You can bring Sam Flanders in after his bye. Or maybe there's an injury. You know, maybe that, and then you just have to go sideways to Sam Flanders. Who knows? So I'm cool with just picking him in round three.
Yep, there we go. Luke Ryan's our next one at 628K now. This is honestly a bloke that I'm fading hard, and I'm fairly certain that his output won't be the same this year, as he's not getting those cheap like kicks backwards in defense, like the first half of last year where he'd just be standing guarding grass, and instead of moving it forward, they just chip it to him. But the club, like I think it was like round 10 onwards or something, the club opted to run plays through Jordan Clark instead of him off half back and just driving that ball forward. And honestly, I can still see Luke Ryan scoring okay, but I can't see him scoring at a price that's 628K. He will definitely dip. And that's why he's going to be a pass for me. I don't want to pay overs for someone that I know is going to dip.
Well, we already know that Paddo thinks he's a fake primo, and he's been saying it for a couple of years.
He's going to be starting him.
It's going to be starting him. This
Yep.
is not the year to start
I
him.
know.
He's just calling him a fake primo for the last 2 years, and this is the year he starts. Okay. All right. I have no, sorry, I'm not criticizing Paddo, but this is a bad decision. I agree. I've actually had Jordan Clark in my team for most of the preseason. I think Jordan Clark's the way to go. He's cheaper. Throughout the preseason, the match simulations, they're looking for Clark. He's entering the peak of his career now. He's just had that breakout year. I think that he could take his footy to the next level again. And I mean, I think Luke Ryan will still be a guy that pushes at 105, maybe even 110, potentially, right? So I still think that he's the type of guy that you would want in your team by the end of the year. But I reckon you can get him at 550K later in the season.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. We'll move on to Lachie Whitfield at 598K. So this is the one that Swizz is absolutely all about. So the only problem is he's got that shit round two bye. But he's just got free rein in defense. It's fucked up. He had five sub 100 scores in 2024 from 23 games, and he had a season high of 153, which came in the final round of the home and away season too, might I add. So he's just taking the absolute fucking piss. And again, he's got that round two bye. And on the Supercoach Insider potty, when we were talking there, we were talking about having that flex player cover someone like Whitfield, and I don't mind it, but again, it could only be for one line for me. If you've got it one in midfield, one in defense and whatnot, just doesn't work.
I agree. Yeah, no, I agree. You need to have, for me, I would be only picking one player from that bye. So if you're picking Whitfield, you can't. For me, I wouldn't be picking Anderson as well. That's just my opinion, of course. Obviously, the other byes seem to be a little bit more annoying. Guys like Dacos, Will Day, share a bye, Bailey Smith as well, Perryman, Darcy Cameron. These are all really popular picks. Josh Dacos has been on people's radars as well, Max Holmes. So Whitfield will cover you through the other buyers where a few of those guys will be missing. So I actually don't hate the pick. I know the round two buy is annoying because second game into the season, you already have a primo missing, but he will cover you for the other two. And I feel like there's going to be more guys missing from those other two. So we don't even really have GWS or Gold Coast rookies that we're looking into too much anyway for field options. So,
Yeah, not for field, just for
not for
bench.
field. Yeah, for
Yeah.
bench, right? So, to me, it just sounds like maybe having a Giants player is a good way to go to get you through the next 2 weeks after his bye. And now I'm considering him. I can easily go Perryman to Whitfield as well.
Yep.
It
No.
does
Well,
look better.
stop.
I've just
You've dropped
clicked.
two different names for this podcast way too early in Clark and Perryman.
I'm sorry.
So
I'm sorry.
we'll
I'm
keep
sorry.
moving. So the
Just a
next
glimpse
one.
into the
Oh
future.
Jesus. Oh, this is not going the greatest. But anyway.
Screw the run sheet. I'm just kidding. I'm
Fuck
kidding.
the run sheet. Don't actually fuck
Continue.
the run sheet.
Continue.
Yeah. Okay. Dane Zorko is our next one at 595K. So this bloke's been heavily slept on. Yes, he was in the second grade, back of the row with Jesus, in primary school, but don't let this bloke's age fool you. This man can play even if he's 36 years of age. So he had a season high last season of 161, and he had a fucking hectically strong finish to 2024. Massive POD, just in 4% of teams. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually pull up. Is he playing tonight? I don't know. Let me just double check because this motherfucker, if he's going ape shit, I swear to God, he's playing right now and he's killing it.
Is
Timing.
he?
Yep, he's killing it. He's already up to 8 disposals. Dunkley's on 9, so he's the second highest disposal getter right
It's
now
quarter time.
for Brisbane.
This is live. We are
Yeah.
live checking this now. Wow.
Yep, he's
Interesting.
going
Matt Crouch is
stuff.
going bananas too.
Oh, that's not too interesting. I reckon Crouchy's just always an accumulator.
Yeah, he is. Okay.
Anyway, back to Zorko.
Back to the Zorks. I don't hate it. I really don't hate it. It'd be a massive POD. Massive POD. My only concern is that he is one of the very few players that I can still call an old man in the AFL system. And that list is really, really diminishing every
But
year. Huh?
you can't discriminate against him because he had such a hectic year at 35.
That's fine. And you know what? And it makes me feel good too, because it means I'm getting to my peak as well, physically, apparently. So I'm looking forward to it. But the thing is, my concern is genuinely Kitty Coleman. That is the guy that has been unavailable all last year. He's unavailable for the early rounds, but when he comes back, does he take the footy away from Zorko? Just that little bit, just to relieve him a little bit. And then we saw what he could do in the grand final. We know that Brisbane want the footy in his hands. Does that mean Zorko, you're paying 595K for Dane Zorko, but you might only be getting a month of him at that value? So, which is great for the start, but do you really want that for the full year? So, I don't know. I'm not sold on that pick purely because I think that Kitty Coleman starts to take points away from him very soon.
Okay. Kitty Coleman played the grand final, didn't he?
The previous year, yeah,
Oh, the previous one.
the one that they lost, and he was close to best on ground, probably Brisbane's best on the day, I would say. And then he obviously did his ACL, so unfortunately he didn't play all the last year. So you go look at that final series, and you can see that Brisbane were using him as the main man from defence, and I can see that continuing as soon as he's available. So that's what's bothering me about Torco.
Yeah, that's fair enough. We'll move on. Jack Sinclair, 592K. So, as some tosser on Twitter loves to keep telling me, Sinclair likes to start the season off slow, but apparently averaging 107 across your first 8 or 9 games is considered slow because he finished the second half of the year averaging 113.
He was pretty great last year at the end of the
Yeah,
year.
but 107 is not slow.
No,
Anyway.
he was in a different role. He was actually playing as a more midfield
Yeah, I
at
know,
the
and he
start of
sucks as a
last year.
midfielder. I'm sorry.
He sucks as a midfielder, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, but they don't have St Kilda doesn't have that issue this year because they've just recruited Jack McRae.
The poo will come back.
Garcia, who will come back, and then Garcia actually looks good. Darcy Wilson looks good. I actually think that they don't need Sinclair in the midfield anymore. And look, if it wasn't for that hamstring injury, Sinclair would be in my team. And unfortunately, we don't get to look at him in round zero. But if he is named round one, he's probably a safer pick. So I like him better than Whitfield because he will cover you throughout the buys.
Yes.
And that's all the buys, including the mid-season buys, because he's got the best one. So it's a re and he's got Richmond early, which is juicy for halfbacks, like real juicy. Like if you had Sinclair and someone else that I won't name because I've already named so many defenders early ahead of time, but you're probably going to get 2 130s that day, okay? I don't know. I really like the pick. Honestly, if he's available come round one, he's in my team.
Yeah, I like
He
him myself. I've been trying to work out a way to like not have him in my team
and he's got
because
DPP.
yeah, exactly, mid defense. Like every time I just keep coming back to him. Anyway, we'll move on. Next one's Dan Houston, 576K. So much like how we were talking about the forward line potty and how we got all these new guys at new clubs. Dan Houston from Port, now at Collingwood, and we've seen him literally just take on the Tigers last night. And to be honest, it wasn't the greatest example of trying to see gauge how he's going to play because everyone kind of just took the piss. But he's playing off that halfback flank alongside Josh Dacos. Got the early bye, but I actually like his teammate, who we shall not name until later, who is significantly cheaper. But I wouldn't blame someone for picking Houston as he is a good option and he is in only 11% of teams at the time of recording.
I think he's a great option. Scored 106 or 107 Supercoach last night, and he also had kick-out duties. So that's pretty juicy for me. I think that him and Joshy Dacos are going to have, they're the two main halfbacks, and I think they're going to be very dangerous next year. Sorry, this season, the two of them. I personally want. I want Josh Dacos, but I cannot fit him in my team currently. And the annoying buy. But he'd be a nice one to have in halfback personally. I think that I'd be trying to snatch Dacos myself when DPPs take place. So,
Fair.
yeah.
Fair enough. Now
Yeah,
his next.
I think
Oh,
that's what's going
yep.
to happen. So no Houston to me.
Yeah, fair. These next three blokes are the three that I'm probably most excited about. And we'll start off. Sorry, I've got a lurgy in my throat.
I said you because I read the third one, and he is on my never again list. He makes up three of my top four never again list spots. He's number
Fair enough.
one, he's number three and four, never again.
Anyway, we'll start off with Nick Martin at 566K. So honestly, if I didn't have two Bombers rookies in my defensive line, I'd be all over fucking Nick Martin because I've had him last year, fucking loved him. This year, it looks like he's just got the license to do whatever the fuck he wants. So he's starting at half forward, but he's just everywhere and he's got the most insane tank. I don't know what his time on ground percentage was, but I know he was fucking out there all game and he's kicking snags and then all of a sudden you see him in the back pocket and you're like, what the fuck? So yeah, he absolutely destroyed that Pracky game. And yeah, like honestly, I'm expecting his ownership to shoot up.
I can see it too. If it wasn't for that round, if it wasn't for that round, is it the round four bye? Round four bye. It is a not. Is it round four? Two, three? Four round four bye. He'd be in more teams, definitely. I think that he's a safer pick. I think he's a better player in the position that he's been playing in, right? Where he's been playing more as a midfielder that pushes up the ground into attack. He's so good in front of goals. This is what he started his career as, and everyone thought he was amazing. I like him. I like him, and he would be in my side if it was probably if it wasn't for that early buy myself. So also he's an Essendon player. Something about Essendon that I just don't quite
You
like.
just don't fucking like half the teams in the comp.
That is true.
Being Richmond,
That is
Collingwood,
true.
Carlton, Essendon.
And I have valid arguments for all of those.
What about Geelong?
Oh, no, they're fine. They're fine.
Oh, nah, fuck Geelong.
They haven't beaten me in a grand final. That's fine. But
Fair enough.
honestly, you know what? Let's not get into this. Let's not get into this.
We'll
But
move on.
Nick Martin,
Oh, yep.
I definitely do like him. So I can see why
Yep.
you're picking.
Well, here's our favorite one, Jordan Clark, 564K. So he ticks so
Yes.
many boxes for me. So no early buy, tick. Hectic finish to 2024, tick. Round 13 buy, fucking massive tick. So, and honestly, I think this guy can be a top six defender in Supercoach this year. So, as you were saying earlier, Freo want the ball in his hands out of defense, are actively looking for him all the time. And you look at his run from round 10 onwards in 2024, he averaged 109 in that time, but he actually had his last two games of the season, there was like a 60 and an 80, and that brought his average right down. Don't know what the fuck happened there. Maybe teams started tagging him. I don't know, but I doubt it. I can see him improving to that score of 109 average, if not better, this year.
I agree. Entering his seventh season, he just came off a really good year. That his definite career best season. He just came off that, and now he's going to start the year playing teams like. So he's, listen to this. He's playing Geelong, West Coast, Richmond, St Kilda, Collingwood in the opening nine games, who all do not tag halfbacks. Those teams bleed points from halfbacks. And Jordan Clark's the main man down there. I can see some really big scores over those three games. Like the last time he played, let's take a look. What was it? He averages 103 points against Geelong. So that's round one. That's already there. That's his best average side as well, by the way, career average. So
Nice.
I can really see him like by round 10 before he plays GWS. I can see him averaging 110 easy for the year. And I'm all over that. So he is in my team and he's not leaving it.
You know who's not in your team, Pete?
Absolutely not. Never again. Gross.
Jordan Ridley, 553K. So the reason why I'm excited about him is when he is fit. He is an absolute bona fide A grader. Like, you cannot deny that. And we've all just been waiting for him to absolutely nut over everything into the top six among defenders. Honestly, this is screaming like one healthy year. You'll be crazy not to pick him, and people will be hesitant because he's burned them before. E.g., Isaac Heaney.
When is he ever fit, though? That's the problem.
When was Isaac Heaney ever fit? Like,
That's
he
true. That
always
is
injured
true.
himself. And then he had that one really good year. He still got suspended. He shouldn't have.
He
but,
shouldn't have.
like,
No.
that one
Look,
healthy year where everything just the stars align, could that be this year?
it could be this year. It definitely could be this year. And look, he had a big score against the Tigers in round 11 when he came back from injury. That 162 was impressive. And then he did have two back-to-back 100s, so like 111, 112. But then, I don't know, the 84 against West Coast and 63 against Geelong were concerning. He played more of a lockdown role in those two games, and that's the problem. The problem is it's when he gets swung into that lockdown role that he's going to pump out that 60, and you're going to get real frustrated. He did follow it up with three good games, and then he got injured again. And that's the problem. The problem is that, yes, he can score well. Yes, he did score. He did average 102 for the year, and he was averaging 111 before that, but it's just, I don't know what it is. You take out those two outlier games. So you remove that 33 where he got injured, and you remove the 162 where he was playing a VFL reserves team at best. And yes, I've just called Richmond that. He was averaging 100 flat. It's good. It's good, but it's not incredible. I don't know. I don't like it. Nah, never again.
That's
Never
why we
again.
discuss it. Next one is Wanganeen Millera at 544K. So honestly, last season I thought was going to be the year where he'd break into like the top six defenders. I was wrong. I openly admit that. But yeah, Jack Sinclair decided he had other plans. Anyway, could this year be Wanganeen Millera's year? He's classy by foot. They love to get the ball in his hands. Just need to be a bit more consistent, really. Like his good scores are good, but his bad scores are fucking atrocious. So at the moment, it's a no from me personally. I feel like there's better options out there, but what are your thoughts, Pete?
Interesting because Big Wang is in my team.
Oh.
I actually like it. He's entering, is this his fourth season? It is his fourth season, so it's the fourth season breakout potentially. I thought he had a pretty inconsistent year, like you said last year. He had these month spurts where he went like 101, 120, 91, 114, and then just drops off for about a month. Then he goes 115, 113, 112, 118, 104, then drops off for another month, and then comes back with another bunch of 100s. And you're just like, you don't really know what you're going to get from him. He kind of averaged 100 all season, though. So if you did pick him, you weren't upset, but you weren't ecstatic either. Like, I remember I was tossing up between him and Max Holmes, and I picked Max Holmes. I probably would have preferred Wanganeen Millera personally, because I feel like he's good. I know that he could have those random 60 scores, but most of his scores are flat 100s, while like a Max Holmes would go 130 and then like 80, 130, 80, right? While Wanganeen Millera is like 100, 105. You know, I don't know. I actually think that he can go bigger and better this year, especially if Sinclair doesn't make it round one. He's in my team.
But that's one round.
It's one round. No, you're right. But he's also going to cover me for all the same buyers that I just mentioned. West Coast have, sorry, St Kilda have a really good draw for halfbacks, just like with Sinclair. Adelaide aren't necessarily great for halfbacks, but then he's got Geelong and Richmond back to back, right? So he's going to. Should in theory do quite well against both of them. He averages his highest, by the way, against Geelong. So that his highest career, oh no, sorry, against Collingwood, but that was only in two games. So that should. He's good, but it is, I suppose, Collingwood. I mean, look, he does play West Coast as well. I just see some pretty good scores from him. Yeah, look, at the moment he's in my team, but then again, if he doesn't play well over the next practice match. It doesn't look like I can't see him not playing well because they're going to be using him a lot. They want the footy in his hands. Even when Sinclair was not injured and playing during those match simulations, they were looking for Wanganeen Millera in those match simulations. So I don't know. I like it. Yeah, if you got both of them, which I currently have, you can't lose.
Fair, fair. Live Dane Zorko update. He's on 60 Supercoach, 13 minutes into the second quarter.
What round was it where he went like he turned up at halftime and then finished with another like 15 points for the rest of the game?
I don't know, but either way, he's looking fucking good.
He did.
Someone that I don't understand the hype about is Max Holmes at 534K. So he's in 25% of teams. And I've put in our run sheet to everyone's surprise, I'm going to fade him. If he's playing midfielder, I can actually see him scoring like a fucking yo-yo. Like, and you gave the prime example, 130 one week, 80 the next. I'd prefer to see him play off half back myself and taking the kick-ins and that sort of thing. But the other side of it is, again, buy. Now, he has a teammate that I'd much rather, that's slightly cheaper, I'd much rather pick him. And we'll talk about him in 2 players' time.
AFL-wise, he's great. AFL fantasy-wise, you're probably fine. Super coach-wise, I'm not sold. He had 22 disposals the other day in a practice match and got a 50 score in Super Coach. Like, he was just turning it over. He's a good, like, don't get me wrong. He provides run and carry. He's a great player in general. AFL-wise, just not for me, come Super Coach. Like, I just want to show you his end of the year. This is the last 5 games: 71, 80, 69, 104, 73, and 121. And I also want to mention that 73 was against St Kilda, who bleed points to those running sort of players like a Max Holmes. And that was the game that he pumped out. So for me, it's a no. I did have him all season last year. I started him, and it was a really frustrating player to have purely because he was too good to trade out and there were other priorities, but he just wasn't good enough for me to be happy with him in my team. And it was really annoying. So no for me as well, especially with the bye.
Yeah, agreed. Next one we got James Sicily, 533K. Now, this is the question I have is, will he play sole defense? And if he does, how does he now fit in with Barass and Battle? Now, the Hawks and Dogs game just finished 4, and Sicily ended up finishing on 88. So it doesn't scream pick me, but it's not ultimately shit. Now, Josh, like Sicily had 24 disposals. Josh Battle had 27, right? And he had 6 marks, 1 tackle. So I've got no fucking idea what the hell is going on in that defense. Now, Barass started off like a house on fire, and then he ended up finishing on 11 disposals, but 70 super coach. So I feel like they're going to be robbing the fuck out of each other. In terms of Supercoach scoring, shit, I don't even know why we didn't even look at Josh Battle in this one, to be honest. But I haven't put him on the run sheet. But anyway, yeah, I'm gonna have a hard pass on Sicily this season. I've seen a fair few teams with him, and I just can't get around it.
Yeah, I'm the same. My concern is that the last practice match that he played, he actually played more forward. So he
Yeah,
went not
exactly.
more forward, but he drifted up in the forward line a lot. Hawthorn did use him last year as a target when they needed something up forward. And again, that's great AFL-wise, not great super coach-wise. I don't look, I understand Sicily's been a great player for us in the past. But he did spend 22% of the day this week. So this was the game that just happened in the forward line.
Yeah, there you
So,
go.
or up in the forward half of the ground at least. We don't have heat maps yet on the AFL app, unfortunately. But it was in the upper end of the ground. So not sold. I'm just really not sold. You see, if you actually, if we really go into it, okay, I've gone into it a little bit further. He had in his first half. He had nine. So in the first quarter, he had 9 disposal and 2 marks, right? And looked really good, right? Played 100% of the time in defense. But in his second quarter, he only had 4 disposals, right? It just real drop off, and his efficiency dropped. So his efficiency went from 67% in the first quarter to 50%, okay? And that's when he played, and that's when he drifted forward more. And then he continued to play more forward in the third quarter and even more forward in the fourth quarter. So as the game went on, he actually drifted further up the ground. So I don't know, not for me. It's a no for me as well. It looks like he's going to be playing a little bit of forward, from what we can see.
I just want to see what the like, because I said I didn't even consider this poker. I just want to see what Josh Battle like. He looks like he's got the old Sicily role to me. And then Barass has like that more of a lockdown now. Oh, Josh Battle's 454K,
Let's take a look. 74% efficiency. It's pretty good.
and he didn't really play that role at St Kilda. He was more of a lockdown, wasn't he?
Yeah, I believe he was more of a lockdown, which explains his scores. He had 11 intercept possessions.
There you go.
Juicy, juicy. Oh, and he had kick-ins, and he played on from the kick-ins.
See,
Oh
this
my
is what I'm
God.
talking about. Are we sleeping on Josh Battle? Is he the massive POD that we need?
I was going to say, he only had one tackle and he scored pretty well.
Yeah.
possibly we might be sleeping on Josh Battle. I guess we can watch one more game because they've got, wait, just, yeah, Hawthorn over at round zero. So we get to
Do
take
they?
another look. Believe so. Believe so. Surely.
Double check that one.
Surely. Because, well, yeah, because Will Day's got a bye.
Early.
Yeah. Hang on. Check. Yeah. They
What
play Sydney
podcast?
Friday, 7th of
There we go.
March. Yeah.
Yeah, honestly,
So let's
I'm
take a
kind of
look.
half tempted to keep an eye on Josh Battle in that one against Sydney, and if he fucking intercepts again, fuck it.
I don't hate it. I really don't hate it at all. This is interesting. I'm
Anyway.
looking at the next person, and I can see that he's got an 8% ownership currently, and that's kind of tempting
Is that
me.
the one that we're about to talk about?
Is the one we're about to
Yeah, cool, because he's
talk about.
currently in my team, and that's Tom Stewart at 521K. So Stewart's back in defense, and he's taking a few CBAs here and there. I personally can see a massive bounce back season for him. Now, remember, his ceiling is fucking high, and he's the definition of a fallen primo. It's something that, if you're new to Supercoach, sometimes you get primos out there, right? And they have an off year. It might be role, it might be injury, sub affected, whatnot, and their average drops down. His previous season was 113.7 Supercoach average. Last season, it was 96.7. That's a big drop off. You look at his previous years and he's just killing it. So Tom Stewart is one that is perfect example, fallen primo. I prefer him over Max Holmes 110%. What are your thoughts, Pete?
I agree. I prefer him as an option over Max Holmes. Since 2020, he has had season averages of 100.1, 107.6, 109.7, and 113.7. It's just gotten better every year. And then last year came, and he scored 96.7, which actually still isn't that bad. Unless you paid 635K for him, of course. But he actually didn't have even that bad of a year, technically. Like, he started off okay, and there was just a little, this little poor period in the middle, but then he came home pretty strong, minus the
Because they,
33 against West Coast, of course.
yeah, they played him in the middle a lot more than what like they should have. And remember, he's had two sub-affected games in there too. So he's got the one in round 6 versus the Lions, and then he's got the one in round 24. So you take away that 62 and that 33, and he's actually looking pretty decent.
At 521K, I don't mind it. I definitely don't mind it as long as he's got the role that he previously had that saw him score those massive scores.
Looks like it.
But he also did get a little bit of midfield time. I think it
Yeah,
was
but
yesterday
when he was getting
in
those
third
a
form.
few CBAs, he'd drift straight back into defense.
Okay, good. No, I didn't. Okay. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I'm look, he's still on my radar, of course, but that bye is annoying because he does share it with Collingwood. So, and Sydney. Now, I know that obviously Callum Mills is not an option anymore, but people are still starting, Isaac Heaney, for example, and, Nick Dacos is an option, and Josh Dacos and Berryman, and you've also got Darcy Cameron and Bailey Smith. So starting Tom Stewart could really hurt you as well if you've just got all the players I've named just then.
Yeah.
So, like, I've seen a guy's like, that's fine. I'm just going to score shit 1 week and then I'll be fine for the rest of the year. Fair enough. I get it. That's okay. Drop one game, that's fine. But I don't know. It really depends on structure. He's definitely on my radar. I would be picking him over Perryman if he's fit and good. I'm going to look at his round zero score, of course.
Okay, stop name dropping players we're about to talk about.
I did forget. I did forget.
you did it a fucking game. Okay, well, we'll go to the mid prices because Pete just really wants to talk about them. So the first one's McKercher, 477K. So end of last year, I said that this bloke is the biggest lock in Supercoach if playing on the halfback flank. Unfortunately, he isn't. So he's in the midfield and somewhat half forward flank or high half forward, whatever the fuck it is. So I'm going to say avoid to start the season. And just watch and see how he goes. Much like how people like were hesitant with Sheasel when they found out he switched to midfield slash high half forward and then he killed it. So yeah, wait and see.
For me, this is yucky. I don't like it. He's not playing the same role as Sheasel, where Sheasel's more of an inside kind of guy, and then he drifts forward and he's a natural forward. He was actually recruited as a forward. So he's playing on an outside wing kind of role and then pushing to half forward for North Melbourne, who, let's be honest, not going to win that many games. So
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, if they
I
dare
don't
to dream,
know what.
if the supporters dare to dream, maybe they'll get 4 or 5 wins. But either way, nah, yucky, 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 nah,
Not fair
not
enough.
for me.
Moving on. We're going to go with Trent Rivers here at 463K. So, one that's been in my team a few times. And the reason why he comes out, I'll explain why. So, he's going to get the CBAs early. We know that. But what happens when Viney and Petrarca come back? So, I can't gauge this pick right now. So, for that, I'll be avoiding, but keenly watching him because, yeah, I didn't realize how young he was. For some reason, I thought he was much older.
Oh yeah, he's only playing his 6th season. Interesting. He was recruited as a midfielder as well. Am I wrong by saying that?
I don't know.
I think he was drafted as a midfielder. I'm pretty sure he was. Something's telling me he was, but I'm not 100%. I can't remember because it was 6 seasons ago. But the thing is, and this is just the bit, and he was in my team for a few days, and then I took him out of my team after I looked at something. Now, remember, Clayton Oliver was a shell of his former self last year. Petrarca got that pretty big knock in round 13 and was out for the remainder of the season, right? Was it 13 or earlier? Anyway, he was out for a very long time. In that time, Trent Rivers got the CBAs. He actually got that role, which is why he's got DPP now, right? And he had two really good scores against North Melbourne and West Coast. So he beat up against the two bottom cellar dwellers with, didn't play Richmond, but played two of the three, 131 and 143. And that's awesome. But then he goes 58 against Brisbane, 99, 97, 90, 90, 45, 93, 83. And that's the issue. Are we just getting another 90s guy? A guy that might average 95 to 100 max? And again, this is not an AFL reflection. This is purely from a Supercoach reflection. Because when Viney and Petrarca come back, and with Oliver fully fit, he is the number 4 guy in that midfield at best.
So I want to read out his draft profile.
Thank you.
So draft analysis in summary, Rivers is a big-bodied midfielder who oozes class and leadership. And now this was the summary. In 2019, Rivers produced an outstanding season of football that should see him rise up many draft boards. A big-bodied midfielder, Rivers is balanced, smart, and is an excellent distributor, especially via foot, making him comparable to former Richmond and GWS star Brett Deledio. He has also shown an ability to play either as an inside or outside midfielder and can even station himself on the half-back line.
Look, this is nothing against Trent Rivers, but he is not Brett Deledio. He's got a little way to go before he's Brett Deledio. But I just don't see it. Nah, it's not. He has to pump out a massive score. And I mean a massive score this weekend for me to even consider it.
Yeah, fair.
And it's got to be a score where it's like, shit.
Like the
Who's
Errol
he
Goulden
playing?
170.
Yeah. Who's he playing? Hang on. Let's go back to.
Melbourne.
Yeah, hang on. They are playing the Dockers. Okay, so Dockers have a decent midfield. If he pumps out a decent score against the Dockers, I will genuinely consider him. But again, it's just those 90 scores. They're good. I get that they're good, and I get that he's a defender, but it means that you might make 50K off him, and then you haven't made enough to trade him away. Like, you're not really happy with only making 50K, but then there's also a part of you that's like, oh, actually, I've probably got other issues to fix first. And then you're just stuck with him all year, and he averages 95 for the year, and you're like, that was annoying. So I just see him being one of those guys, personally.
Okay.
I think Perry, I'll stop myself,
Yeah,
stop
stop it.
myself, I'll stop myself.
Little update for you. Your boy from Adelaide is currently on 72 Supercoach at half time.
Is that Crouch?
No.
No. Wait, who are we
Rankin.
talking? Is this the year I pick him again? And he doesn't get the
He hasn't
midfield
even kicked
role.
a goal either. He's playing pure
Wow.
mid, 12 disposals, 7 mark.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
By the way, James Peatling is also on 12 disposals as well.
51
I have a
Supercoach.
question. Is the guy underneath James Peatling on your list?
Hang on. Oh, for midfielders?
He a midfielder? I thought he was a defender.
Who the fuck are you talking about?
Hinge.
Oh, no, he's above Peatling. He's not
Yeah, he's
below
above
him.
Peatling, but he's on the. I've definitely checked
Nah,
out
he's
his
not. Nah,
run
he's not.
sheet prior to
Nah,
this.
he's not. You know
He's
who is?
not.
Jaden Short, 442K.
He's on 13 disposals. He's on 13 disposals. Okay, fine. James Short.
Jaden Short, fucking looks fit and firing. Oh, almost busted a nut watching him. But last year, He sucked everyone in with opening round,
He
and then
did
he hung
this.
us all out to dry. So
He,
be
yeah.
careful, but high risk, high reward. Absolutely killed it versus Collingwood in the Pracky game, and mate, his kick to handball ratio is insane.
He scored 130 in round zero, and I'm pretty sure he turned up in the practice match as well, which is why I selected him. And
Yeah,
then
same.
he proceeded to score 88, 64, 60, 66 in the 15.
Yeah, because he got
And,
injured.
well, obviously, yeah, the 15, but then he still dumped. He dumped 100K before that in
Yeah.
value.
Yep.
He did come back. He actually came. He came relatively good for a couple of weeks.
Can I just say 21 kicks, four handballs? That
I know,
is
I
a
know.
sexy kick to handball ratio.
I know. He's actually his style of play is literally like gold for Supercoach. But for whatever reason, he's never had a 100 average season. So nah. But it will be in Richmond's back line all year.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And
I
just
don't think I
imagine if
can.
Collingwood missed goals.
I don't think I can.
Who's going to be kicking it out?
Yeah, no, it's him. He's got the kick out role. He's got the
Yeah,
kick out role.
exactly.
And
So,
he's got a good booming kick,
yeah, and he'll play on.
provided those hamstrings stay intact. He's got a good kick. I don't know. Look, there's a part of me that wants to go there, and there's a part of me that just like cries thinking about it. Think about it. I'll think about it, but I don't hate it. I really don't hate the pick. He's definitely got the role. And especially with Daniel Rioli out of the team, he has that role. It is
Yeah.
his. It is his back line. So in theory, you're probably picking a guy that will average worst case 95. So
Yeah.
you're still 13 points. You're still picking him up 13 points cheaper. He will probably worst case be about 500, 520K. And then you can get rid of him if you don't want him at his mid-season buy. But I don't hate it. I don't mind it. I definitely prefer him over Ridley.
Yeah. Okay. Now the bloke that you've mentioned three or four times already, Harry Perryman, 419,000. Yeah, so my Giants bias kicking in here. So he was a Mr. Fix It at the Giants. Yeah, he was drafted as a midfielder. Had too many midfielders at the Giants, so they played him all over the place. This is a bloke, mind you, that when Leon Cameron was coaching, he didn't have enough forwards, so he put Harry Perryman at half forward flank. And across, I think it was three games, Harry Perryman was leading the Coleman medal in a team with Jeremy Cameron in it. That's how fucking good this guy is. And people are like, oh, he can't be that good. Look at his Supercoach scores. No, if I can ignore the Supercoach scores, this is one of those things where you know he's good at football. He's been playing here, there, and everywhere. He clamps down in defense. He plays on the wing at times. Like now he's got one role. That's inside fucking midfielder, what he was drafted to do. So now he's got a chance at the Pies to do it. The only shit thing is they've got, again, because they're playing opening round, they've got an early bye. I can see him scoring solidly. Now, I think he was only on five disposals or something when Nick Daicos was on the field, and he was on like 65 or something, 70 Supercoach off five disposals. It was fuck. And he was just tackling everyone, tackle, tackle, tackle. And that's what you'll get from Perryman. Even if he's not getting a high amount of disposals, he'll tackle the fuck out of people and get the points that way. He even had a free against at that stage, and he was still in the 70s with five disposals. It was fucked up. So yeah, he's currently one that I've been putting in and out of my team. I just got to figure out a nice balance with those buys.
He's one that's been in and out of my team as well, and it is the buys that are the reason that he's been in and out. At the moment, I'm probably swinging between him and Short, which scares me. But look, he has had some pretty good scoring seasons. He averaged 94 in 2020, and then he averaged 91.4 in 21. 22, he averaged 94.5, and then 23 was the dip. Yeah, 23 and 22, 24. He averaged in the 70s, which wasn't great. But like you said, he played in multiple roles, lockdown, had some really good spike scores, like a 131 last year, for example. So he can definitely deliver. I don't hate it. I really don't. And worst case, he's probably priced 20 points lower than what he will pump out. Worst case, he's just a bit cheaper than Rivers as well. So I do like that. He's cheaper than Short too. If you're strapped for cash in your back line, I don't hate him as a D4. like not any higher than that. Please tell me you're not rolling him at D2 or three. But I do like him. He's in my team currently. I've got him ahead of Short, but it's very just ahead of Short, really just
Yeah,
ahead of Short.
a guy that just made the run cheap because after seeing his scoring in that, or more so his disposals accumulated in that practice game just before, and then hearing an interview from the Bont saying that this is his breakout player of 2025. That's Joel Frazier at 370K. Now, he just absolutely fucking tore it up. The only problem is there was no Bailey Dale. But yeah, look, Frazier, let's quickly look at his stats from the practice game just then. So he had, I think it was like 27 disposals, was it? No. Yeah, 27 disposals. And he got 108 Supercoach off of it. Now, if the Bont's saying that you're his breakout contender and that's a team with fucking Riley Sanders and shit in it, I think you're gonna have a decent season, wouldn't you agree?
I reckon he's going to have a decent season too. But I just, he's definitely not a keeper. And the thing that I hate about mid prices is when they're not keepers. I would prefer to pick a mid pricer that I think I'm going to hold for the year. Like he's a great value. Yeah, I think that he's just at that awkward price and he's only 47K more cheap, like cheaper than Perryman. And I would very much be trying to scramble to get Perryman. Also, his coach is Bevo. Like he might play a month in defense, and who knows? Maybe he's their number one ruckman in a month's time. I don't know. Like, before playing in the VFL, you don't know. Unless you're Marcus Bontempelli, you are not safe from Bevo.
Even he's not.
So he's gone. Yeah, you are right. We did get him as a forward a couple of years ago, if you remember.
Yeah.
So, no. Look, I don't like it. I think there's better value options, especially around the ground at that price bracket.
Draft pick.
And draw on a draft, no, all over it. Draft, you get it. No, definitely a draft option. 100% draft option.
Yeah. We'll move on. Sam DeKooning, 362K. So if you're looking at bringing him in, you'd be believing that he will be the number one ruck at the Cats. I'm not sure if he's going to be that every week, but I do think he will play a fair few games in that role. He's awkwardly priced. Again, early buy. Could pay off, might not. Maybe rather than having him, and this sounds so dumb, rather than having him in defense, you might, I don't know, give him a crack at the flex position. And if it doesn't work out, you just trade the fucker. I don't know. But then you can still start him in defense and then switch him to flex if the flex player is another defender. I don't know. I've floated him in and out of my team and I just don't like it.
He didn't have a great game. He did have the role, but he didn't have a great game. And look, his brother is obviously, had that breakout season last year, or sort of. And then, he looks like he's primed to go. And DeKooning's a good defender. I don't get me wrong. He's a premiership player, isn't he? Yeah. So he's a good player, but I don't know. He did have a really good game last year. I think he pumped out a 120 against his brother last season, which was great in the ruck, and then he didn't play ruck ever again. But Toby Conway is still someone the Cats rate rather highly, who didn't play. He's injured. And then Rhys Stanley, who didn't play. He played in the VFL, I believe. So is he going to play every week as the number one ruckman? Maybe. But not if he's losing the rucks. If he's losing the ruck battle, they're just going to go with Stanley, or they're going to maybe go Conway when he's available. So I don't know. And then the worst case scenario is that he goes back to as a key defender and he pumps out like 50s every week. So I don't love it. If he scored 100 and plus this week, I'd probably be more keen. But the fact that he didn't and he had the role means that it's a no for me. I would prefer him to have the role, pump out a bunch of scores, and then maybe you pick him up at 450K. Let him increase by 100 grand. You're still getting a really good. You could potentially be getting a number one ruckman for 450K in your back line, right? Which is still pretty good. So maybe just wait it out.
Yep.
Worst case, you get to see a sneak peek in round zero.
Yep. Now Callum Mills, 357K. We're putting a line through him. Yeah.
Injured, and he's got the that foot thing, the plantar fasciitis
Plantar
or something.
fascia tear.
Yeah, so no for me. I'm sending Robert Harvey's book to Sydney, and you can check that out.
Fair enough. Kitty Coleman, 269K. He's not returning anytime soon.
No, I believe that he won't be back until round 4 or 5, which is not bad for Supercoach wise because it means when he does come back, we get to watch his scores for 2 weeks. Hopefully, he's got Zorko's role, and then we get to pounce on him when some of those rookies start to peak. So
Yeah.
it's not a bad option, actually.
Now our last one, Wayne Miller. So he's 254K, and what I put on our run sheet was this bloke has been running on potential for years. Just can't stay on the park, can't get his body right. But I'd be watching how he plays for Adelaide. I'm not sure, entirely sure if he's playing in this game. Let's quickly have a look.
I've just checked here. He's not
He's
playing.
not playing.
He's not playing. I just checked. I was wondering.
Oh, that's so shit. I put a line
I
through him.
I look. I from all reports, he's had a fit. He's been fit all preseason. By the way, Mitchell Hinge, who you've rudely not put on the run sheet, has 12
Fuck him.
disposals. He actually looks all right at halftime. It's not bad. It's not bad. Anyway,
Hinge on the fringe.
he looks better. He's looking better than Rory Laird right now. Just saying. Just putting it out there.
Yeah.
Putting it out. But yeah, he's got the ability. He definitely has the ability. Daniel Curtin, 2 disposals. No, absolutely not. Sorry. Sid Draper hasn't even
Sidetracked.
stepped up. He hasn't even stepped onto the field yet. I need to stop looking at this game. I don't love it. I just want to know what is Malera's best score? Let's delve into this. Let's just go
Oh,
into it a
Jesus
little bit more
Christ.
than what we need to. Let's see. His best season is a 79.8 in 2018. That's not too bad, actually. Is
Yeah, but
that
what's his
bad?
highest ever score?
His highest ever score is. Let's take a look. Wow. All right. Surely not. No, that's total points. That's total. I was like,
I
there's
could tell
no
you what his
way.
highest
No
ever
way he
score is.
scored that.
His highest
Okay.
ever score is 132 by the looks of it. Yep.
That's poor.
132 versus Port Adelaide.
And then all the other ones outside of that are pretty average,
Oh, like
unfortunately.
106, 116, 109, 105, 112, 116. Yeah. And then it goes down to 74, 76.
Some surprise that he's actually managed to play Gold Coast 9 times over his career, considering how many injuries he's
Oh,
had.
true.
Yeah, but then look at his lowest score. His lowest score against Port is also 36.
He's
I
probably
can't.
playing as a fucking sub or got injured.
That's the problem. He's playing as a sub or he's gotten injured or both in the same game.
Yeah.
I can't. No, I just can't. I'm a player though, like when he's playing. But nah.
All right, Pete, how can people find you?
They can find me at Nerds for Life SC. That's the number 4. I am all over all the socials. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, X. I think I said Twitter and X. The Reddit, I suppose you could find me there too. I'm kind of everywhere. So you can find me there.
Well, and you guys can find me at DaneOSCCC on X, formerly known as Twitter. You can also find us on the Supercoach Co-Captains Facebook page. We don't have a website or anything like that because we're not fancy pants and we don't have a YouTube. We're just podcasters. That's what we do. So anyway, let's not fuck this up this time, Pete, because last week was fucking atrocious.
It was
Okay.
funny though. It was funny.
It was actually pretty funny. I pissed myself laughing. Anyway, so from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano,
I'm Peter.
and this is us signing.
The fuck off.
There we go. We finally got it right.
Got it. We got there.